Well, hello everyone. Do you remember ContraPoints? Still around, sort of. The left did not have, I mean, by the left, I mean the woke left, the SJW left, did not have that many top quality content creators. But if you ask me, ContraPoints was probably their most talented and most intelligent commentator. Now, because I'm a bit of a connoisseur, I like ContraPoints' early work. It had a kind of grittiness about it. Later on, when she became more commercial and, you know, got mainstream attention, there's too much budget, quite frankly. So I'm going to take you back in this video. We're going to go way back, all the way through the mist of time to 2017 to watch a video that has stuck with in my mind ever since I saw it. Okay. Now, this video has actually been taken down from YouTube by ContraPoints because, if you know anything about ContraPoints, ContraPoints is trans, is a trans woman. Okay. And I believe this video predates her transition. Now, if you're a ContraPoints fan and you're just stumbling across this, I mean no disrespect by watching this old video. I'm not trying to dead name your hero. Okay, I am respecting her pronouns throughout, okay? What I'm interested in is the actual content of this old video by ContraPoints. And this is going to be a quite interesting exercise because I think in this video, intelligently, ContraPoints predicts the future trajectory, like the next decade of political discourse. You know, I'm recording this at a time where there's a lot of controversy around Tucker Carlson having, quote-unquote, platformed Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is, deemed as this far-right figure who's going around doing lots of mainstream interviews. He's going to talk to Piers Morgan soon. There's all sorts of question marks being asked of the power that certain people hold in the American system. Especially connected to a certain country in the Middle East. The Ben Shapiro's and Mark Levin's of this world have a spotlight on them at the moment. And all across the West, including here in Britain, there are fears, quote unquote, that the right, the far right, is on the rise. And we've been through periods of mass censorship, of deplatformings, demonetizations, debankings. We've been through the whole cycle of that, the whole deal of the 2020 election and Joe Biden. And it seems that the powers that be at the moment, the big tech giants, probably following Elon Musk's lead, have become more lenient on free speech matters. They felt that they were seen during the COVID era and during the 2020 election cycle as being too heavy-handed, too censorious, too Orwellian. And the backlash that created was sufficient for many of these companies, including YouTube, has to be said. I mean, if you notice, YouTube have not actually taken down a lot of these big high-profile interviews. They have allowed Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson to grow on their platform. They're not censoring with the same zealousness that we all enjoyed under the leather boot of Susan, if you remember all of that. Okay. So, this whole video is going to be an exercise in me reviewing ContraPoints from 8 years ago. What's always interested me about this video that I'm about to show is, one, ContraPoints understood the gist of the main arguments that were coming from the quote-unquote far right. And two, she also anticipated that the left and the center really have very few actual arguments and answers to the sorts of points that are drawn. And so, I mean, if you want, watching this, we could almost have a Stefan Molyneux counter. Speaking of, I'm bringing back 2017 YouTube, guys, right? Not an argument, right? You need to have a Stefan Molyneux bell for not an argument during this. Before we get going, Christmas is coming up. I'll remind everybody, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. We'll watch an ad, I'm enjoying, by the way, Saint Louis Rey Regios, underrated Cuban cigar. But yeah, pick up a course at the Academic Agency, Trivium, the bestseller. You know, if you want to be able to analyze arguments in real time, separate rhetoric from logic, you know, to write well, to formulate arguments well, Trivium is the one to pick up. But there's also Foundations of Shakespeare, Foundations of Economics, and many other great courses. I'll play the ad, and when we come back, we're going to be going back in a time machine and watching ContraPoints together.
Academic Agency.
All right, and we're back. So for this, I'm going to be in this little box here. I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to be in this little box in the corner. And in the time-honored fashion, I will pause it when I have an interesting point to make. I mean, if we're truly coming back to 2017, maybe I'll have the comeback of my stop button. Do you remember that? That's for real old school fans, that one. Okay, ContraPoints, let's take it away.
Hi, I'm Jackie Jackson, host of the Freedom Report and defender of freedom. Tonight, my guest is
I mean, this is meant to be, by the way, I think, a pastiche or a lampoon of Dave Rubin. We might question the choice of host or the choice of target here, but it's kind of interesting. Okay, let's carry on.
Saul Saltzman, prominent tweeter and author of First They Came for the Gamer Girls, a provocative look at social media and the rise of the alternative right. So tell me, Saul, does the gefilte fish go between the lox and the matzah, or have I been putting this together wrong?
Well, I hardly see how that's relevant to the book I've written. Just because I'm of Jewish heritage doesn't mean that I'm some kind of culinary expert.
Hello, Leute. I mean, hello, fellow Americans. You have a moment to talk about the need to secure the existence of our people in a future for white children?
Hang on a second. Are you a Nazi?
Nein! Nein! I mean, no. Of course not. I'm simply an alternative pan-European ethno-nationalist identitarian with some socialist leanings.
So, I mean, but part of this video was called Debating the Alt-Right, by the way. And you can see that the basic point that ContraPoint is making is that, you know, these people who claim that they're not far-right, they claim that they're not fascists or Nazis or whatever, you know, they try to dress up or hide what they really are with this sort of language. Let's see where this goes.
Oh, well, in that case, get your ass on in here. Pull up a seat.
A dunker.
Jackie, you must be kidding me.
What's wrong?
This man is clearly a Nazi.
Well, he says he's not a Nazi.
Actually, I prefer Z pronouns.
Stop forcing your made-up gender on me, you fascist snowflake.
How do you know she's a Nazi if she doesn't identify as one?
Well, look how she's dressed.
Well, who hasn't, in a spirit of irony and exuberance, dressed up as a Nazi once or twice?
She's talking about securing a future for white children.
Well, why don't we...
Now, you see, one of the things that's interesting, get your Stefan Molyneux bell ready here, is that continually throughout this video, this figure here, this left-wing intellectual that ContraPoints is playing, relies on the strength of taboo to fill in for argument, right? I.e., Nazis are beyond the pale, therefore they don't deserve to be listened to, therefore all their concerns, all the things that they want are illegitimate, delegitimized. Therefore, argument is not actually necessary, okay? And what ContraPoints was doing here was actually, in a strange way, combating the classical liberal view that, I mean, Douglas Murray has said this so many times, that sunlight is the best disinfectant. right, that actually these people, if you give them an airing, will hang themselves, okay, and that will be enough to defeat it, okay? And what ContraPoints is doing in this is actually refuting that classical liberal view and is saying, well, actually, if we had this debate, how would it actually go? What arguments would actually be brought forth? And so far, the left winger here is leaning just on shock, on taboo, on you must be kidding, but there's not actually, it's not an argument. Let's carry on.
We get his take on that before jumping to any conclusions. Fritz, does wanting to secure a future for white children make you a Nazi?
Of course not, Jackie, but thank you for asking. As far as I'm concerned, the Nazis died out in 1945. That's all paleontology at this point. But you don't have to dig through the fossil record to come to some common sense conclusions about the necessity of a secure white homeland.
Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. Saul, what do you say?
Well, I find this frankly astonishing. I'm afraid that I'll be compelled to walk out of this program if this person is allowed to...
What I find also interesting about ContraPoints' framing is that, unlike the Douglas Murray view of sunlight is the best disinfectant, ContraPoints assumes that the, you know, quote-unquote Nazi here is seductive, that is almost irresistible, that is luring people in, and people won't be able to resist the lure. And if you have a look at the way the discourse has gone, if you have a look at, what people talk about, the Overton window, I think some aspect of this point that ContraPoints is making has been borne out. If you look at the figures that have risen and the figures that have fallen, where is ContraPoints now? All of the main people that people talk about now are people who have been labeled as fascists and Nazis. So it's an interesting little insight. And obviously ContraPoints was arguing for deplatforming, for censorship. I'm not going to say that necessarily, because we actually went through and saw that did not necessarily work as a strategy. But the bottom line is that ContraPoints believes that these arguments are seductive, that they do have power, and they're actually quite difficult for the classical liberal who's powerless, and the leftist who can only kind of splutter and say, oh, this is outrageous. The way that ContraPoints is presenting it, this fascist is having the better of the debate. Let's carry on.
Remain. Well, that seems a little extreme. Don't you think an open and honest dialogue is the best way to sort our disagreements
out? I don't see how I'm supposed to have an open and honest dialogue with someone who wants to deny my right to exist.
Well, Fritz, do you deny Saul's right to exist?
Jackie, of course not. And thank you again for asking. You see, mainstream cuck-servatives may use coded anti-Semitic and racist rhetoric to make cheap appeals to the public, but not me. I grew up with Jewish friends. I even went to my classmate's bar mitzvah. Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Venismeha. We had a great time. The point is, I have no problem at all with Saul here or any other individual Jews. The problem is the international Jewry, the globalists, the special interests, Jewish finance, the media, the banks.
Is this Gender Studies 501, Body Narratives in Traditional Chinese Medicine?
Nein, die feministische Klasse ist im Klassenzimmer 306.
Is this guy a Nazi?
Nein!
Ew. Bye! I'm afraid I must be leaving as well.
No, wait. Saul, do you believe in free speech?
Well, it's not a question of whether I believe in free speech.
Do you believe in free speech? Yes or no?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, then let this fine fellow bring her wares to the free marketplace of ideas. You see, I am a classical liberal, and I believe that reason, nay, truth, shall prevail.
It's quite kind of interesting. This is why this video has stuck with me, because what I'm not seeing still, there's still not been an argument. It's literally just been, oh, this person's a Nazi. there's been no actual attempt to counter it. And, the thesis of the video is that Rubin or this host should not be platforming this person, because if they are platformed, they're irresistible, which is a really weird thing for ContraPoints to think, if you think about it. But it is what ContraPoints believe, and it's what a lot of leftists in their hearts believe. And this is why, on a meta-political point, this interests me. That in a fair fight, they think they'd get their ass handed to them. That's weird. As a sensible centre-leftist, of course, I'm saying that. Let's carry on.
So, Fritz, what were you saying about the Jewish question?
Jackie, I prefer not to use the historical term Jewish question.
I respect your preference.
I find this frankly astonishing.
I'm simply looking for the most logical answers. Answers to questions. Questions like, why is it that no one on the left is demanding that Asians allow hordes of immigrants into their countries? Why is it that black people are allowed to take...
But what's the answer? What's the answer? Leftist intellectual, what's the answer? And this is the thing, there's no attempt to count, like, he's rubbing his eyes, but what is the, like, what is the reason that Asians aren't expected to do this? What's your principal objection to securing the future, etc., etc., etc.? And this is it, there's an actual absence of argument at the center of this video. One of the reasons it's always stuck with me, it may be one of the reasons that ContraPoints took it down, although I think it's because of pronouns and whatnot, but let's carry on.
Take pride in the race, but when white people do the exact same thing, suddenly it's racist.
Well, that's actually a really good point. I've always wondered that. You must be joking. How can you sit here nodding in agreement with a Nazi?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on, Saul. I think that's pretty unfair. Nazi is a very strong word that we shouldn't just be bandying about to discredit everyone we disagree with.
Genau.
She's not just anyone. She believes that a Jewish conspiracy is destroying the white race, and that diversity is genocide. She's quite frankly a Nazi. Can you not see that?
Now, this is a reference to the Eugene Ionesco play Rhinoceros, which is an allegory for fascism, where all the people in this town gradually turn into rhinoceri. But what's interesting is that this is a hallucination that this left-wing intellectual is having. And it's unclear to me whether ContraPoint is critiquing this left-wing intellectual or is sympathizing with them. But this is still like cognitive dissonance, right? It is an enactment of cognitive dissonance, not actually being able to process any of the actual arguments or come up with any viable counters because you have enjoyed a monopoly of the information space, relying on taboo to police the boundaries of it. And now that taboo is being shattered by this classical liberal platforming this quote-unquote Nazi. All he can see is a rhinoceros in front of him. But this is just psychosis. This is not an actual argument. So I'd be interested if ContraPoints would still defend this video, or if any left-wing intellectuals could actually provide a justification for this enactment here. Like, why aren't any actual arguments presented over the course of this 12-minute clip? Let's carry on. Of course, we should mention that real-life Dave Rubin did not... I mean, one of the, I guess you could say, blind spots of this video, or the blind spots of ContraPoints, is that the choice of Dave Rubin as the classical liberal was perhaps misplaced, because, I mean, I could predict that Dave Rubin would not turn into a rhinoceros in the fullness of time. But the reasons for that we can save for a different video.
Saul, are you okay? I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to please remain civil. You're coming across as very emotional right now. Fritz over here is making some calm, rational arguments, and if his ideas are wrong, I don't see why you can't simply refute them calmly and rationally.
How am I supposed to refute?
Yes, good point, host.
The idea that a Jewish conspiracy controls the media and world finance.
Well, okay, that's fair. Fritz, I'd say the burden of proof is on you here.
Indeed it is, and I'll be happy to provide evidence. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook. Bob Iger, CEO of Disney. Jeff Zucker, president of CNN. Eddie Hartenstein...
Stop! You're...
Now, this sort of discourse still goes on every single day, every single minute on Twitter. And yet, I never really see any true attempt at a comeback other than to say, the strongest one is to say, well, these are a bunch of individuals. They are not involved in in a collective. But then that, I mean, that happens, right? But then we've also seen in the past month, 2 months, 3 months, especially in the wake of Tucker Carlson interviewing Nick Fuentes, many organizations, many groups explicitly who are under a banner to push certain agendas, to push certain collective interests, getting together and say, hold on a second, we've got a problem here. We need to do something about this. We're going to go to war. We're going to deplatform. You know, we've watched Mark Levin. We've watched Ben Shapiro. And we've watched, they went after the Heritage Foundation and all of this sort of thing. So you can't, like, on the one hand say, well, it's just, these are all just individuals pursuing their separate interests in a kind of Milton Friedman, capitalist utopia. And then on the other hand say, well, actually, all these organizations do exist and they are pursuing, you know, collective ends. So this is something that I never see people adequately address. And it's very interesting to see 8 years ago, ContraPoint zooming in on this exact point. Let's see what the left-wing intellectual says.
Just naming CEOs of media companies that happen to be Jewish, that's hardly evidence of a conspiracy to control our minds.
Well, hold on. If lots of CEOs of media outlets are Jewish, why doesn't that count as evidence of Jewish control of the media?
You must be joking! Are you really buying this?
Not necessarily. I'm just trying to keep an open mind and follow the facts wherever they lead.
Well, how about the fact that the last time this madness took hold, 12 million people ended up murdered in the extermination camps? But I suppose you deny that ever happened.
Well, we can have an academic debate about the extent of these historical incidents on our own time, but for now, I leave it to the viewers at home to decide for themselves how they feel about these obvious attempts to guilt-trip them.
I'm not trying to guilt-trip anyone. I'm simply pointing out the indisputable historical fact that nearly 6 million Jews and another 6 million Roma, homosexuals...
If the fact is so indisputable, why is skepticism about the official narrative illegal in 16
The official
European
narrative?
Countries?
My
I mean, if the facts
goodness.
Are truly on your side, why should you have to resort to these Orwellian methods of thought policing?
Holocaust denial is illegal in those countries because they're trying to prevent prevaricating charlatans like you from promulgating racist lies.
Well, what's true and what's a lie is for the evidence to decide, not the government.
So I have to say I side with Fritz here. I mean, I'm no Holocaust denier, but I think the viewers at home are smart enough to sort fact from fiction on their own without Big Brother telling them what to believe.
Well, look, I don't think Holocaust denial should be illegal either.
So now we have a contradiction from the left-wing intellectual in ContraPoints' left-wing video. There's an internal, I mean, Marxists would call this an internal contradiction because he's just justified the banning of the banning of Holocaust denial in various different countries to prevent the rise of X, Y, and Z. And now, in the next breath, he said, well, he's not actually for that. Okay, so he's already, there's a kind of he's shifted to a different position within the space of a couple of minutes. Now, you could say, well, this is a construct from ContraPoint. My point is, I guess, more meta than this. Why is ContraPoint constructing the debate in this way? Why does she see it going this way? Very interesting. Let's carry on.
But free speech does not require you to invite people like this onto your program.
Well, plenty of my guests, such as yourself, disagree with Fritz, and I believe the best way for my viewers to decide what's true is to hear out both sides of the issue.
Just because there are two sides to an issue doesn't mean they're equally deserving of an audience. Your responsibility as a journalist is not to simply defer to this both sides platitude as a defense of trotting out any fascist crackpot. You have to exercise discretion about what views are worthy of being heard.
Well, the alternative right is a growing political movement, and I'm sure my audience wants to find out what it's all about.
Ganz recht.
The best way to find out what their ideas are isn't simply to sit there nodding in agreement while a person who is, frankly, a propagandist sits there spouting racist canards that are known to lead to violence.
Well, Fritz, are you trying to incite violence?
Of course not, Jackie. And thanks once again for asking. I and other white nationalists support true diversity and a homeland for all peoples, something we aim to achieve through purely peaceful means.
Well, that doesn't sound violent to me.
He's quoting the front page of Stormfront. This is nothing but Nazi propaganda. How are you not seeing this? How are people not seeing this? I find this frankly astonishing.
If you want to talk about violence, Saul, why not take a look at what's going on in America's inner cities, at the knockout game, at black-on-black crime, or take a look at leftist organizations like Black Lives Matter or Antifa. Hardly much commitment to nonviolence there, huh, Saul?
That's a good point. Saul, what do you say to that?
Leftists are getting violent because their lives are threatened by fascist ideology. The things this monster advocates would lead to state violence, with victims on the scale of tens of millions.
Well, do you have any evidence to support that?
The evidence is the historical record. The Nazis didn't come to power on a platform of gas chambers and ghettos.
Godwin's law.
Saul, this is why I'm having trouble following you here. It's like you can't disagree with someone without resorting to calling them a Nazi.
Well, what do you want me to say if that's what they are?
I just don't see why, if your ideas are correct, you can't explain them calmly and rationally. Fritz over here has no problem with that, even in the face of you calling him a Nazi. I mean, here he is, trying to express some valid concerns about white identity and national security, concerns which many Americans share, and I can see where they're coming from. I mean, there are thousands of organizations that promote the interests, values, and heritage of non-white minorities, so I don't see why it's suddenly racist when white people get together to do the exact same thing. I always wondered in school why white people were constantly being guilty.
See again. So do you see why I'm interested in this video? Do you see why I've remembered it all this time? Because basically, there's been countless iterations of this debate happening, and it has gone this way. The actual discourse has gone this way. And the left, like, they barely even bother to try to make these sorts of arguments anymore. And even 8 years ago, in ContraPoints' construct, the comebacks were weak. The comebacks were emotional. The comebacks were not reasoned and evidenced. And this guy is having a kind of psychotic episode and, you know, reliving Eugene Ionesco's rhinoceros. Well, of course you're going to lose if that's how you see the debate going. So this, it's a bit, it, to me, this is one of the most insightful videos ever made on YouTube. Right, and this is why I'm coming back to it, because can anybody suggest that this is not how the discourse has gone? Check into a recent episode of Piers Morgan. You know, Piers Morgan's been the rhinoceros, the guy in the middle there. But routinely, this is what has happened. The guy in the hat in this clip, those sorts of arguments have won out consistently against the arguments by the chap in the glasses here, consistently in the discourse. This is a value-free assessment.
...tripped and told that we're responsible for all the ills of history and society. Like, there's just this white people are evil narrative that's forced down our throats by the media, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of sick of it.
Especially now that we're all supposed to act happy that millions of Islamic rapists are swarming into Western countries. Now, I may not agree with Fritz on all the details, but I do consider myself a civic nationalist, and I don't think we should gloss over the role that white people and white culture have played in building Western civilization. I, for one...
It's like this guy is peeking through the keyhole and is seeing 2025 back in 2017. It's kind of mind-blowing. It was foreseen by ContraPoints right here in this video, what has happened. And make no mistake, something like this has happened.
I don't want to see Western countries overrun by third world cultures and primitive people who don't understand our values. And I feel like all of them.
What could I have said to change their minds?
So that was very, very interesting indeed. I'd be fascinated to know if you're on the right, if you're on the left, if you're in the center, what you make of that old video that I just talked you through, and the fact that the leftist there realized that he had no coherent arguments that were not based on emotion or appeal to taboo or simply reverting to what happened, in mid-century Germany. Okay, those were the only arguments he had throughout that whole thing, whereas the classical liberal and the quote-unquote Nazi, were coming up with actual points, they were bringing what they saw as evidence to the table, and it came up against nothing whatsoever. And if you think about it, at the start of this video, I said ContraPoints was their strongest soldier. ContraPoints was their most talented and most intelligent commentator and content creator. But if they, in their heart of hearts, knew that they could not win the argument, of course it was going to go in the direction that it has gone in. Because, you know, in the open marketplace of ideas, that's how it's going to go. They went down the route of censorship, and that didn't work either. You know, it caused other problems. It created silos. It created it pushed things underground. Didn't stop it growing in the way that it did. So what's the bottom line, though? What's if you're a leftist watching this, or if you're a centrist, if you support the status quo, if you're a classical liberal, the bottom line is you actually have to have arguments. You actually have to have comebacks to these things. Otherwise, people will cheer them and they'll say, well, that point is true. That point is true. That point is true. That point is true. Why are there these contradictions in the system? Why can't, you know, there be a homelands for my people if they, you know, exist for those people and those people and those people? You can't just say, oh, well, oh, that's a taboo. And that's why this voice has got louder and louder and louder, because consistently for the past 8 years, 10 years, there hasn't been a rebuttal. There hasn't even been the attempt to come up with any sort of argument. Well, it's 2025 now, and this still basically accurately depicts the current discourse. So lots of things to think about. I really wanted to make this video, and yeah. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, and I'll catch you next time.
If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.